Today, I'll be talking about Isaac's wife. Sarah died at the age of 127 years old, and that will put Abraham at the age of 137. So both were very old, and the wife, Sarah, died at 127. So that will put Isaac's age at 37 years old, because you recall that Abraham had Isaac at the age of 100. So if Abraham was 137, Isaac would be 37. And at that age, the father was already very old at 137. He was thinking about marrying, choosing a wife for his son, Isaac. And so Abraham instructed his servant to swear an oath to go to Haran to get a wife for Isaac among Abraham's relatives. Let me read to you scripture at chapter 24, Genesis verse 1 onwards. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." So Abraham instructed his senior servant. And this senior servant is not just a mere servant, do all things, but also in charge of the whole household. Yeah, he ruled over the house. It's like an upper servant. Yeah, and they have this old method of swearing that the person who's making an oath, swearing an oath, puts his hand under the thigh of Abraham. Okay? So it must be an old custom in those days. "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son." So explicit instruction to the upper servant was that he's going to swear before God that the servant will go to his country, Abraham's own country, that would be in Haran, to look for a wife for Isaac. And the servant is not supposed to have any of the Canaanites' daughter marry Isaac. So it must be a relative of Abraham. In verse 24, verse 4 is very clearly, Abraham said, "Thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred." Kindred means relative. "And take a wife unto my son, Isaac." So who would the relative be to Abraham? Abraham has a brother, Nahor, in Haran. So it would be Nahor's descendants, would be Abraham's kindred or Abraham's relative. "And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" So the servant is very sharp. Yeah? Obviously, there are many hindrances in his venture to bring Abraham's a woman to Canaan. And so he asked a question to Abraham before he swear the oath. "What if the woman is not willing to follow me up to Canaan? Must I then bring Isaac to the woman?" Very, very intelligent clarification. And so let's stop here for a short while and consider what we have just read. First, Isaac was supposed to marry one of Abraham's relatives. That would make Isaac marrying a relative. And marrying among relatives was common in those days in the Near East. The tie between them was closer than that of outsiders. So, of course, Abraham would prefer Isaac, the son, to marry someone within the family or relatives or within the clan, so-called. Yeah, he would not want Isaac to marry a Canaanite. The values are different. The backgrounds are also different. And the way of thinking in the worship, the worshiping of gods are all different with the Canaanites. So Abraham thought it would be best that it would be someone from within the family. And so it is. That Abraham also married within the family. Abraham and Sarah were siblings of the same father, but different mother, meaning that Terah had a wife who gave birth to Abraham, and Terah had another wife giving birth to Sarah. So Abraham and Sarah then were married. So it was all within the family, you know, half siblings. Nahor's, Abraham's brother, married Milcah, Nahor's niece. So if you recall, I may show you this family tree. Nahor here, you look at the family tree chart, is a brother of Abraham. See Nahor in the center, Abraham on the right, they are brothers. And Haran, the other brother, died early in age, leaving behind three children, Lot, Issachar, and Milcah. And Milcah then married Nahor, the uncle. So very much in the family, yeah? Nahor married the niece, Milcah. Milcah being the daughter of Nahor's brother, right? So it is very much common in those days that they married within the same clan or within in proximate relationship to one another. So the servant was concerned that what if he breaks the oath? If he fails to bring a wife back for Isaac, is there a real concern of not bringing back wife? The answer, if you consider it carefully, yes, there is real concern by the servant. First of all, is there such a woman of marriageable age in Haran being relative to Abraham? Is there such a person? Today we know whether so-and-so has a daughter in a faraway land because we're all connected by the phone, email, WhatsApp, and all the social media. So we know that there's such a marriageable woman for my son. In those days, 4,000 years ago, snail mail doesn't even exist. You don't even know whether your relative is dead or alive unless someone brings news to use on foot. So they don't know whether Nahor is still in Haran. They don't know whether the descendants are there. They don't know if there are descendants, whether there is a woman of marriageable age, still unmarried and worthy to be married. So if this upper servant was to go to Haran to look for Abraham's relative and bring back a girl for Isaac, what is the chance of success? So many unanswered questions. Further, putting aside all these dismal issues which may spoil the plan, what is the likelihood that if there is such a woman of marriageable age and who is a relative to Abraham, the woman's parents would agree that the daughter go with the servant to a faraway place? You remember, yeah? Canaan and Haran are like hundreds of kilometers away, and they travel on foot across desert places. What is the likelihood that the parents would allow her daughter, young woman, who has not gone very far away, to follow a stranger to a faraway place, hundreds of kilometers away? Meaning in those days, they think in terms of how long is the traveling, maybe many months on foot. What is the likelihood of a parent allowing the daughter to do that? Is unlikely. Even if the parents agree, what is the likelihood of the woman agreeing to go with the servant? Unlikely. Why would a woman, young in age, probably not very experienced outside the family, because she was just working for the family? Later on in the story, you find that the daughter of Betuel, Nahor's son, fetched water for the family and doing a lot of household chores. And women are not supposed to work in a public place in those days. They work in the family. So it is unlikely for a woman to have traveled let alone follow a stranger to a faraway place many months away on foot. So the servant is a very sharp servant. He knows the way of life. And to him, he probably feels that the adventure or the project is doomed to fail at the start. So he asks this question, no? What if he fails to bring back the wife? Will he be held to his oath? Because he's swearing an oath before God. And what will happen to this oath if he failed in his project? So there are many spiritual lessons we can learn here. Spiritual lessons like due to the likelihood of failure. In this particular case with Abraham, the servant clarified with Abraham, will he still be held to the oath? Has he broken an oath with Abraham and with God? So it is important that we must take our oath when we swear on the Bible or when we give a promise to someone else, that we do take it seriously. Do not promise anything that you are not likely to fulfill. And because you'll be held to your promise. Not only you will be held, God will hold you to your promise that you haven't carried out what you said. So be wise like the servant, explore your options. Yeah. So whenever someone makes you promise to do a certain thing, think of the downside first. Are you likely to succeed, or there are imponderables that may be unlikely for you to succeed? Even if there's a small percentage of risk, you must highlight the risk to the other party and said, you know, this and this may happen, and if it happens, you know, I may not be able to carry out your promise. So all these must be flagged up, and then opposite party must say, yeah, in those cases, then I will not hold you to your promise anymore. Then if you are happy that you have explored all your options and highlighted all the risks, and then you can make your promise and make sure that you will carry it out. So that's very important, because it is the spiritual lesson here is that you must show a good testimony before God and men, that you as a Christian, you take your promise and your oath seriously, and you will carry that out and fulfill what you promise. And so that this servant of Abraham, that he highlighted the risk, and Abraham clarified that yes, he may go ahead, and if he failed to bring the daughter, failed to bring the woman, then he is released of his obligation. So let me read to you what Abraham said. Chapter 24, verse 6, and Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So Abraham was telling his servant, God has promised that he will have many descendants, and God will surely get a wife for Isaac from his kindred. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. So clearly, in verse 24:8, Abraham told the servant, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then you will be released of your oath. But don't bring Isaac there to Haran. Okay, so this is what was extracted from Abraham, a release if the woman refused to follow the servant back to Canaan. Yeah, so take your promise seriously. Be as wise as a serpent, and harmless as dove. So Abraham was confident of the success because from his past experience, God had been faithful. Since God had promised that he would have many descendants, surely God will prepare a wife for Isaac. So just now I read earlier on, Abraham told the servant that he's confident and that God is faithful and God will provide a wife from among his kindred for Isaac. So in the same way, God is faithful to us too. We should recall the times when God has delivered us from our trouble in the past. Recollection of God's faithfulness will give us greater faith in God for the future. I'm sure many of you have gone through trials and tribulations, yeah, in your work, in your family, among your colleagues, with your bosses, because many of us spend many hours at our workplaces. And so our experience at the workplace is bear us great testimony how God has delivered us from many trials and tribulations in our workplaces. For me, I too have been delivered many times. Yeah, I have left my job without a new job, gone on looking for a new job, and God was faithful. Every time he provided a new job. So God has been very faithful, very good to me. And I always recall how in the past God has delivered me also from many sicknesses, ill health, and God will surely deliver me from the future, yeah, of many trials and tribulations. Yes. So it is important to remember that God, how God has been good to you, how God has restored you, how God has delivered you, and you will gain greater faith moving forward. So the servant prepared himself for the journey. Let me read on in Genesis 24:10. Then the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. So 10 camels and loaded the camels with a lot of goods, all from his master, and he went on his journey. So again, it's a very far journey back to Haran, where Abraham originally came from when he came to Canaan. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So interestingly, he came to the city and he rested outside the city next to the well where women folk would go and fetch water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master. So he prayed to God, the God of Abraham, and asked for success, for success for his master's project in bringing a wife for Isaac. And behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So he prayed this prayer to Lord God and said, if any of women came out to fetch water, and I shall ask for a drink, and she will give me a drink from her pitcher, and also bring water for my camels, then that woman is the right woman that you have appointed for Abraham's son, Isaac. So that was what was in the mind of the servant. And he prayed this. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. So this relative, the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor, came out to fetch water with her pitcher. So you look in this painting, you will see this damsel with a pitcher. There's a pitcher where how they fetch water and bring it back to the house in the city, which is just nearby. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." So the servant saw her, already filled her pitcher with water, asked her for a drink from her pitcher. And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. So very quickly she consented to let the servant have a drink from her pitcher. And she said very respectfully, "Drink, my lord." And very quickly brought down the pitcher from her shoulder and gave him drink. So here you have a woman who is very respectful, very caring towards a stranger who is a servant of Abraham. It's not as though they know each other well and they're friends. No, they're perfect strangers. They don't know each other, see each other for the first time. And when a stranger came to her, she very quickly consented to let the stranger have a drink. Of course, naturally, to her mind, the stranger must be very thirsty. He looks like a stranger from a faraway land with his 10 camels, all dirty from all the dust of the traveling. And you can see that the servant is not a local. He has been traveling for a long time. He is dusty. He is unclean. He looks tired from the walk, from the heat. And you have this woman who show kindness and care to travelers. And she very quickly agreed, to the drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." So it came very automatically out from her that she's good. She said to the servant, I will bring water for your camels too, because she could tell by the look of the camels that they too were very thirsty and had they have gone through long distance of traveling. And so she was kind also to the camels, to the animals, to bring water to quench their thirst. So it shows a woman who is very kindly, very hospitable, very hardworking, because bringing a lot of water is not exactly light. And women of that time, they do hard work of carrying water pitcher by pitcher, and it's heavy, and they will bear with this hard task. And so she was a very hard-working, strong woman, and also very beautiful and kindly and caring. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew up for all his camels. So you notice in the drawing there's a trough, so meaning that she had to go to the well, draw water from the well. You probably, there's a bucket system, and the bucket goes into the well, comes out with a bucket full of water, empties the heavy bucket full into the pitcher, carry the pitcher out to the trough, empty the pitcher into the trough, and then she runs again to the bucket in the well, throw the bucket into the well, and then hoist the bucket up again, very heavy hoisting. So she has to do it many times. So it's hard work. Yeah, it's not easy. It's hard work. All that running, all that hoisting, all that carrying many times, because there are 10 camels. 10 camels can drink a lot of water. But she did it out of care and kindness for the for this traveler and the camels. And a man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So you know that all this activity was actually thought of by the servant in the first place. He already prayed to God, "If this woman who comes along, gives me water and gives my camel water, let she be the one." And there you are. There was this Rebecca who came and then did exactly as what he prayed for. And so he was observing. And what did he observe? And the man wondering at her health. And the man wondering at her held his peace. So he observed quietly and watched what she did. Whether the Lord made his journey prosperous or not. Whether the Lord appointed her to be the right woman for Isaac. Did she pray? I mean, did she do as what the servant prayed for? Was she kind? Was she hardworking? And everything bore out according to what he had prayed earlier on. And so it came to pass as the camels had done drinking and the woman took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. So the servant was satisfied. Everything came out high marks for her. She cleared all the tests. And the servant then took out a gift, golden earring, half a shekel, two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" So he was already very happy with the woman, and he wants to know her background. Who is her father? And so on, so forth. And he wants to lodge in the father's house to learn more about the family. And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." So it came out from her very quickly that she is the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which bare unto Nahor. And she said, moreover, unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. She said to the servant, "They have a lot of fodder for the camels, for the animals to feed. And there's also room for the camels and, of course, for the servant as well." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Yeah. So this is clearly a sign that the servant thought it's a sign to him that God has blessed his plans. And here is the woman whom God has appointed for Isaac. And therefore, he bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord for success, for the search of Isaac's wife. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Yeah, very interesting here. "I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." He was not looking for Abraham's relatives. All he was doing was he settled in the well and said, "If any woman gives me drink and my camels drink, let she be the right woman." It could be any woman who is not Abraham's relatives. And then it may not work out because Abraham's specific instruction was that the woman must be a relative. And lo and behold, Rebecca came and did exactly as what she prayed for in setting the test. And on top of that was Abraham's relative, being the descendant of Nahor, Abraham's brother. He was just in the way of traveling. And the Lord led him to the house of Abraham's brother. Amazing. So it shows that God will guide events according to his will. And at the end of it, you look at it, if God hasn't prepared this event accordingly, even though the woman may be hardworking, caring, and kind, it may not be the right woman. It may not be according to Abraham's instruction for a relative to come along the way. So it is a divine providence in this case. So let us move on. So the woman was Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor and Milcah. So if we look at this family tree, Rebekah is here. Yes, in the center. and she's the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor. Nahor is the brother of Abraham. So if you look at Abraham, son of Abraham is Isaac on the right, and Isaac is of the same generation as Bethuel, because as in Abraham was of the same generation as Nahor. Yeah, being Nahor and Abraham are brothers, so Bethuel and Isaac are first cousins. Yeah, and it is Bethuel's daughter Rebekah that Isaac is going to marry. So Isaac is marrying one generation down, cousin. Yeah. So that is the relationship between Isaac and Rebekah. And let me just read Genesis 24:24. When she said unto him, Rebekah said unto the servant, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which bare unto Nahor. So what is the spiritual lesson that we learn from all this? First, the servant had made plans, camels, possessions, and at the well. So you notice, before Rebekah came to the well, the servant had a plan in his mind, and he prayed to God, I'm at the well. If a woman come and gives me water and my camels water, let her be the one. So he had a plan in his mind. So in the same way, we must also have plans for our tasks, for us to fulfill responsibilities. So God has given us a sound mind and expect us to make good use of it. If we have a task to complete, to fulfill, whether the task is a church service or at our workplace, our boss gives us a task, we must have a plan to fulfill that task and responsibility. It would seem like that we should not sit back and say, okay, God, you are almighty God. I have a task here. Please show your will to help me fulfill the task and sit back and do nothing. No. So if you look at the examples that we see in this servant, he has a plan. How did he arrive at this plan? It was in his mind of this woman coming with water for him and his camels. And then God blessed the plan and made the plan successful. So this is a spiritual lesson that we should learn. Whatever we do, whatever responsibilities that are given to us, we must have a plan to do it. And if it's in the way of God's will, he will bring it to fruition. Second, next, notice the servant went to a well and set a test for the women coming to fetch water. So why did he set this plan of women coming to fetch water? The woman must be hardworking. The woman must be kind to others. So if you look at a woman or any person that you want to pick as a spouse for yourself or for your family members, you want to look at the character of the person. The spouse must be hardworking, must be kind, caring, and so on and so forth. Many virtues that you would like the spouse to have. So to test the person, he said at the well to see whether these women that come to fetch water are hardworking, kindly, and caring to him and his camels. So it was a very good, well-thought-out plan. What you notice is that the servant did not go to a matchmaker or a dating agency, yeah, like what we have today. Because if you go to a matchmaker or dating agency and you have someone picked up from you from a list of suitors or list of other women, that person who comes to you will be at her best or at his best. He will be all delicate and pretty and well dolled up, men and women alike, because they want to appear very nice, very polished in his mannerism, very kindly, very intelligent, very hospitable, very caring. All the good virtues will come out because they are on a fashion parade, you know, and the servant is there to pick the best one. So that's not the way the servant wants it to be. Yeah, it's all stage. So what the servant want is actual at the well and see for himself what actually happened when the women come to provide water to him and his camels. And next, the servant did not make a big play of his riches and possessions, which he brought with him to attract women. He did not go to the to a special place where he sort of give a talk, a sales pitch. Look, my master had this jewel, and he has this son, 37 years old, and he is going to inherit all the possessions and all the properties of my rich masters with all his livestock, sheep, camel, jewels, gold, and other riches and property. And whoever marries him will stand to profit from all the properties and possessions. He did not do any of that. Yeah. So a very sensible servant. Yeah. He did what was a truly spontaneous test. And there's no need to waive all his master's riches or to look at a list of dating partners. So in the same way, if you're looking for a spouse for yourself or family members, check out the person is of the same faith, very important. Be not unequally yoked. This is important because going forward, if you're of different faith, it will sort of split the family apart. Yeah? There will be objections, blah, blah, blah. Children will be wondering whether he's going to be a Buddhist or a Christian or whatever other religion. So it's very, very difficult for the children. And most importantly, it is God's law. We be not unequally yoked. And we don't want to break God's law as Christians. Now, of course, then next comes whether the spouse is hardworking, whether he's caring and kind, and the other virtues that you will look out for. Yes? So these are the things that we look out for. To look for a spouse for yourself or for family members. Just as the servant looked out for the spouse for Isaac. So learning from the servant, we must have a good plan and trust God for each step of the way. If it's God's will, the plan will succeed. If not, the plan will not be successful or become altered by God. So if I just read the verse from 24, 21, Abraham's servant himself was waiting to see whether God would bless his plan. In chapter 24, 21, he says, and the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So he knows all his plans will come to naught if it's not God's will. Now he waited whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So in the same way, we have to have our own plans. And as Christians, we all know that our plans will come to naught if God does not bless it. If it's not God's will for the plan to bear fruit, it will not. And so at the end of whatever plans we have, we trust that God will guide each step of our plan and that it will succeed according to God's will. If it's not God's will, then it will not succeed. For my personal sharing, I have come across many missions plan that has gone altered because it was not God's will. Many years ago, when I was in Cambodia, we were there to, of course, witness to the Cambodians. So our plans were to witness to the church people in Cambodia, and the church in Cambodia will bring in non-believers for us to witness and to tell of God's good news of salvation. But the plan was completely altered. Yeah, there was a team of American Koreans from America who came to the mission house as well, and they were there to carry out children's program and so on and so forth for a few days. And I was supposed to train the American Koreans. So every night I have lessons with them. So all my plans to reach out to minister, to witness for to the Cambodians did not bear fruit, because that plane completely changed. For the whole of my duration of the mission trip, every night I had to plan lessons and to carry out lessons to teach and train the young Korean American youths. One example of how a mission trip plan can be completely put aside and God's plan put before you, and then you have to follow the new plan. So it is not for me to say, no, I can't do this because I prepared to witness to the Cambodians. I'm not prepared to teach the American Koreans. I'm not prepared. You can't do that. If it's God's will for you to do it, you know, you just have to quickly prepare and do it, and you do it every night. Then not too long ago, before the pandemic, I was in Batam. This time, again, there were big changes to the plans. And my wife was there earlier, and she was to finish the first leg of the mission trip and then return. And then I was supposed to continue with the second leg. So the schedule was quite thoroughly planned, and we have very fixed schedule. What is her program and what's the duration of her program? And then I will pick up where her duration ends, and I'll continue with the second leg. But that was not to be. She had to rush home quickly because of the sudden homegoing of her father, and I had to come in to take over her part of her program. So again, so big changes like this, and if God trusts an altered plan, and that's God's will, you cannot just shirk it aside and say, no, I'm not going to do this because I have not planned for this. So man proposes, God disposes. We must always have the mindset that, yes, we plan, we prepare as best as we could. But if it's not according to God's will, we must be able to adjust very quickly and change the plans according to the situation on the ground God has prepared for us. It is not for us to say we can't do it, yeah, because people are depending on you, and God has assigned you to do his bidding, and we will have to do according to his will. And thank God, in all the cases that I've come across so far where there are big changes to plans in mission trips, they have all succeeded to the praise and glory of God. So, spiritual lesson, let man plan what he will, trusting in God each step of the way, and let God decide his will, what we must do for him in carrying out God's plan. So man proposes, God discloses. Let us go to God in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for this lesson, how servants prepared his plans. And he, in the way of carrying out his plans, loving Heavenly Father, thou, in thy divine will, brought it to fruition. That even Rebecca is the relative of Abraham. How uncanny it is, and yet it is true, that if we prepare and it is in accordance with thy divine will, thou will bring the objective to pass. So we praise you and thank you how in the past too we have many objectives, many plans, and thou hast guided us on each step of the way. And so teach us to be discerning, to be sensitive to thy will. And when there are changes, let us seek thee to know that it is thy will for us, and that we do according to your bidding. So we praise thee and thank thee, and we praise thee and thank thee that we have this lesson to learn, and how that we may be enriched by these many spiritual lessons. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Stop here.